Welcome back to the deep dive. For this one, we are holding a piece of hardware that's become pretty much synonymous with modern gaming.
But for a lot of people, it's also synonymous with frustration.
A lot of frustration. We're talking about the PlayStation 5's controller, the DualSense, and specifically this brand new one, the V3.
And we really have to ask the core question here. Is this just, a cash grab, a minor revision to justify a big price hike?
Or is it what some of our sources are calling it, the necessary evolution?
Exactly. The controller that probably should have shipped to the PS5 in the first place. So our mission today is to cut through all the marketing, get into the teardown data from Tinking Game, and figure out if this V3 really fixes the console's biggest complaints.
Okay, let's set the stage for you. We all know what those complaints are. The two. Massive anchors dragging the original DualSense down.
Oh, yeah.
First, that just abysmal battery life, you were always plugged in. And second, the one that drives everyone crazy, stick drift.
And that history is so important. You had the V1 at launch, which was notorious. Then the V2 came out really quietly.
Right. What was the deal with the V2 again?
It was mostly just internal tweaks for, like, regulatory compliance.
Yeah.
It did nothing for the battery, nothing for the stick drift. It didn't solve any of the real-world problems.
Which is why this V3 is under such a microscope, especially with its new price tag.
Exactly.
So to start, let's tackle that stamina issue first. Because the difference here between the old controller and this V3 is, well, it's a revolution.
It really is. The engine room of the original was just, it was too weak. It had a tiny 1,560 milliwatt battery.
Which is nothing when you think about everything it's doing.
Right. The haptic motors, the adaptive triggers, the mic, the lights. Sony tried to fix it with software updates, but it didn't really work. The hardware just couldn't do it.
So here's where they finally went under the hood and did some real surgery. It's not just one fix. It's a couple of things working together. What's the first one?
The first one is just brute force, which we love. They stuffed a much, much bigger battery in there.
How much bigger?
It jumps from 20,560 milliwatt to a massive 2,200 milliwatt. That's a huge physical increase.
Okay, but that's only half the story, right? A bigger battery is great, but if the parts are still inefficient, it'll just burn through it faster.
That is the crucial second part. Our sources show it's paired with a new, super efficient power management chip. It's not just a bigger tank, it's a smarter engine.
A smarter engine? How does that work?
Well, the chip actively reduces power consumption for the really hungry features, like the haptic feedback and the adaptive triggers.
By how much?
By up to 30%.
30%? That's huge. How does it do that without, making the haptics feel weaker?
It's all about dynamic voltage. So when you get a big rumble, the old chip might just blast power at it. The new chip gives it exactly what it needs. No more. Trimming off all that waste, it's way more intelligent.
And the proof is in the stress tests. The V2, when Tinking Game pushed it really hard, lights on high, vibration on, triggers working, it died at what, 6 hours and 40 minutes?
Yep, 6 hours, 40. You were always getting that low battery anxiety.
That anxiety is gone. Compare that to the new V3. Under the exact same test conditions, a confirmed 12 hours and 15 minutes.
Really double. It's a night and day difference.
12 hours. That's an entire Sunday of gaming. You don't even have to think about the cable anymore. It just completely removes that friction from the whole experience.
And even when you finally do need to charge, that's better too. The USB-C port is optimized now. A full charge takes 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Down from 3 hours.
Flashed it almost in half. They've completely solved the stamina problem. Period.
Okay, so battery death is one problem solved. Let's talk about the other, more infuriating one. The mechanical failure that is stick drift. The thing that makes people buy a new $70 controller every single year.
Stick drift is, well, it's a mechanical wear and tear problem. It's caused by these little components inside called carbon potentiometers.
It's literally just friction, right? The parts are rubbing together and wearing down.
Precisely. You are grinding away tiny bits of carbon every time you move the stick. Eventually, it can't find the center anymore, and you get that ghost movement. It's basically inevitable with that design.
And the V3. It finally adopts the solution that everyone in the know has been asking for, Hall effect technology.
And how it works is just so cool. It totally bypasses the problem. Instead of parts rubbing together, a Hall effect stick uses a magnet and a sensor.
Okay.
So when you move the stick, you're just moving a magnet. A sensor reads the change in the magnetic field. There's no physical contact to read the movement.
And if there's no physical contact,
then there's no friction.
Zero friction.
Zero wear.
And, crucially, zero drift. It's basically an indestructible solution for the sticks. It fixes the single biggest weak point.
That sounds almost too good to be true. The sources mentioned the manufacturer claims a lifespan of over 10 years of heavy use. 10 years. Did Taken Game do any kind of, I don't know, accelerated testing on that? That's a great question. They can't confirm a decade of use yet, obviously. But they did compare the components to industrial-grade Hall effect sensors.
The kind of things used in, like, factories.
Exactly. Where failure is not an option. The physics behind it is sound. It's not a question of if the old sticks will fail, but when. These magnetic ones are basically immune to that kind of decay.
That is just fantastic news for competitive shooter players, the ones who are just constantly slamming the sticks around, clicking L3 and R3.
They're the ones who burn through controllers the fastest. This gives them, you know, total peace of mind.
So the internals are fixed, but you're saying they also tweaked the actual feel of the controller.
They did. It's subtle, but important.
I mean, when you pick it up, you feel it immediately. It's heavier, about 15 grams heavier.
And that's a direct result of the bigger battery and the little magnets for the sticks. But the consensus is that it actually feels more premium, more substantial in your hands.
It does. The old one felt a little bit hollow. This feels solid.
And the other big fix is the grip. The old smooth plastic could get so slippery.
Oh, for sure. Especially with sweaty hands.
So now they've added this new sort of rubberized texture. And if you look really, really closely,
it's the PlayStation symbols, the little triangles, circles, crosses, and squares. That's a great detail.
It is. And it gives you way more friction. It completely solves that sweaty hands problem. It's a small touch, but it's hugely functional.
I also tweaked the lights, right? Something about glare.
Yeah, a minor thing. The LED strips around the touchpad are a bit thinner, and you have more control over the brightness now. It's just a quality of life fix for playing in a dark room so you don't get that reflection on your TV.
Okay, let's shift to the software side. Because the V3 launched alongside a new PS5 firmware, 5.0, and it unlocks a couple of features that only work on this new hardware. The first is called Smart Haptics.
This is a really clever way to deal with a battery dying on you mid-game when your battery drops below 10%.
Right.
The console tells the V3 to automatically reduce the intensity of the vibrations and the trigger resistance. It's a power-saving mode.
So it's designed to squeeze out a little more playtime.
Exactly. It gets you an extra 30 minutes reliably, so you have time to get to a save point or find your cable. It doesn't just die on you anymore.
I love that. The other feature is a big one for anyone who plays online. AI mic isolation.
Yes. The built-in mic now has a dedicated AI chip just for noise cancellation. The sources call it hardware offloading.
Wait, hardware offloading? Let's be clear what that means for you, the listener. A dedicated chip in the controller.
It means the main PS5 processor isn't doing the work. The V3 itself is filtering your mic input. The result is that your teammates no longer hear you mashing buttons or the click-clack of the sticks.
Or the crunch of your chips.
Or the crunch of your chips. It cleans up the audio channels so much, and it does it without using any of the console's power, which can stay focused on running the game.
That's genuinely a great feature. Okay, we've established this thing as an engineering marvel. Huge battery, no drift, better feel, smart software. Now, the elephant in the room.
The price.
The price. This collection of fixes is not cheap. The old DualSense was, what, $69, $74?
Around there, yeah. The new DualSense V3 comes in at a steep $95.
That is a $25 hike. I know people are wincing at that. And you can get third-party controllers with Hall effect sticks for cheaper. So is this just the Sony premium?
That's where you have to look at the long-term value. Yes, third-party Hall effect controllers exist, but they usually compromise somewhere else. The haptics aren't as good, the battery's small, the integration isn't seamless.
So you're saying with the V3, you're getting the complete premium package plus the fix.
Exactly. You should frame that $95 as an investment. You're paying to drift-proof your setup for a decade. If you're buying a new $70 controller every year or so anyway.
Then this is actually cheaper in the long run.
It's an investment in reliability and stability.
Which brings us to the big comparison. If I'm spending $95, should I just save up a bit more and get the $200 Pro controller, the DualSense Edge?
Okay, let's break that down. The Edge at $200 gives you Pro features. Back buttons, different stick caps, and crucially, replaceable stick modules.
But those modules were only replaceable because they still use the old technology. They were designed to fail and be swapped out.
Correct. And the Edge has one massive, unforgivable flaw that the V3 just crushes.
The battery life.
Terrible battery life. You're lucky to get 6 hours out of an Edge. It's a constant point of frustration for owners.
Whereas the V3, at less than half the price, gives you a guaranteed 12 hours and sticks that won't break.
For 99% of gamers, the choice is obvious. They want reliability and stamina. The V3 delivers that.
So the conclusion is pretty clear. Unless you're a hardcore esports pro who absolutely must have back paddles,
the V3 is the smarter choice. The battery life on the $200 Edge is, frankly, embarrassing compared to this new controller.
The Edge is like a Ferrari. Amazing performance, but it's always in the shop and has a tiny gas tank.
While the V3 is the reliable SUV that'll get you across the country, no problem.
Yeah.
That's the perfect analogy.
So what's the final verdict from the sources?
That this is the controller that should have launched with the PS5. It's not a luxury, it's a necessary evolution. They give it a 9 out of 10. That 1 point is docked only for the price, which they still feel is ultimately justified.
So the final recommendation for you is simple. If your current controller is drifting or the battery is shot, buying an old V2 now would be a huge mistake. Just go straight for the V3.
That $25 premium buys you peace of mind. Magnetic joysticks, all-day battery. That longevity is what you're paying for.
Absolutely.
And that leaves us with a final thought for you to chew on. We talked about the V3 using its own little AI chip for mic isolation, that hardware offloading. How much further could that go? What other behind-the-scenes AI features could be built into our peripherals next? Maybe analyzing how you play to optimize the game for you in real time, all without the main console even noticing.